Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're continuing on with our series called By Candlelight They Suffer, which is a story submitted by Jarrett. We are on part 8 and we will be continuing that today. I want to give a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. I hope you're enjoying it so far. Let's get started. Sage's eyes fluttered open. Where was she? Oh right, back in her room. Her eyes scanned the darkness. What had roused her? The clock read 3 in the morning. Then she heard it, faintly, coming from Jade's room across the hall. Some kind of low, weird chanting. She swore it sounded like speaking in tongues, because it resembled no language she could recognize. The heavy blankets, coupled with the soft mattress, seemed to swallow her whole. But Sage didn't think she had to alert her parents. She slept with multiple alarms she could activate easily, but knew that her parents already had enough on their plate. No, let them sleep. But what was Jade doing? She wasn't back into that witchcraft stuff, was she? She had sworn that off ever since Sage's injury. Or had she? Sage suspected that Jade was fraying around the edges, which made sense in a way. Add a disabled twin sister on top of normal teenage pressures, and no question Jade was stressed out. But was she stressed out enough to start cursing people again? Sage hoped not. Yet as she listened past the beeps and hums of her medical equipment, Sage knew without a doubt Jade was performing a burning. As the chanting went on and on, eventually it crescendoed, then died off. Then a short little giggle floated across the hall, followed by a soliloquy as Jade paced the room. She needs to die. I'm so tired of these damn people thinking they can do whatever they want. Who does Maddie think she is? Thinking she can barge in on me in the bathroom and jab her finger in my face. She'll see how life is for the rest of us. Jade? Sage called out, but knew that her breath didn't have enough power behind it to project across the hall. She had to stop this, reverse the spell. Yet as Sage lay there, listening to Jade's obsessive ramblings, she bemoaned the fact that someone in Jade's school was in perilous danger, and Sage had no way of stopping it. What did she come home to? It was 7:30 when Jordan heard her mother call to her from the foyer. Curious, she stopped her breakfast mid-bite and strolled over, the early morning sun flashing bright streaks of orange through the window blinds. What's up? She asked when she got there. Her mother held out a thick, sturdy envelope. For you. For me? Jordan asked, her brow furrowing. She almost never got mail, at least not envelopes. Prime deliveries, sure, but what person would send her something with... She checked it out. A handwritten address. Weird. Thanks, she said, snatching it out of her mom's hands and ascending the carpeted stairs to her bedroom. Whatever it was, she didn't want to open it in front of mom. As she plopped down on her bed, she began peeling at the edge of the clear packing tape with her fingernail. After some prying, she managed to get a good hold on it and tear it back fully, crumpling it up into a wad. She tore open the envelope. Just a blank page. Must have opened the backside. She took out the papers. Looked like a good amount of them stapled together. What were they? Some kind of weird bill? Maybe a pen pal of some sort? With anxiety beginning to make its presence felt, she finally dumped the papers out onto her bed. The front page became a blur as her eyes scanned it. The words Jordan and slut bombarded into her skull as she took in the signature lines. What? What the hell was this? She flipped the page, her body shaking so bad she might as well have been swimming naked in Arctic water. More signatures. Worse, printed names. The football player Jesse Matthews? His girlfriend, the cheerleader, Amanda Wright? John Simpson, some nerdy band geek she had had classes with as a sophomore. Her heart stuttered at the sight of Jade Kaplan, but of course, Jade hated her. That one didn't really hurt. Sure, they had been friends, but not for years. And besides, Jade would have signed a petition to launch her into the sun. Jordan flipped the page. More names, more signatures. More people she'd never spoken to or even heard of. There must have been hundreds. Then her eyes landed on another name, Brooke Palmer. Jordan stopped breathing. No. She looked again. Brooke Palmer. No. Brooke Palmer? Her vision blurred as tears strolled down her face. Brooke wouldn't sign this. She wouldn't. She couldn't. How could she? She wouldn't dare hurt her like this. Feeling as if a knife had been rammed into her heart, spilling out her life and soul along with it, she got up off the bed on wobbly knees and made her way to her dresser. Brooke. She still couldn't get past it. Of all the names, of all the signatures, of all the people in the entire school, Brooke had to be the one to do it. Jordan Halstead is the biggest slut in school, and she'd signed her name agreeing. How could she? Jordan had thought they'd become close over the past couple of days. Not best friends, sure, but on that trajectory. Now Jordan didn't know what to do. The only person she thought of as a true friend turned around and stabbed her right between the shoulder blades. Who had made this petition? It didn't matter. Nothing mattered anymore. That petition was proof that nobody wanted her around. Jordan opened the top dresser drawer. Inside sat the usual collection of junk she'd accumulated over the years. Makeup, old receipts, a pair of tangled earbuds, half-finished bottles of medication from various doctor's visits. Her gaze lingered on them. Openly sobbing, she yanked her phone out of her pocket and texted Brooke. Why? The typing bubble appeared. Why what? Jordan jabbed a, you know what? Brooke. No, what's wrong? Jordan. What's wrong with you? I thought we were friends. Brooke. What are you talking about? Are you okay? Jordan sobbed and threw her phone across the room. Of course she'd never admit it. All of these girls were always so nice to your face, then betray you the second you weren't looking. Then her gaze settled back on those pill bottles. Not thinking clearly, she snatched up each one. Antibiotics, sleeping pills, painkillers, anything she could get her hands on, and carried them through her closet and into her bathroom. For a long time she stood there, staring at herself in the mirror. Then she turned on the water tap, snatched a rinsing glass she kept in her medicine cabinet, and filled it to the brim with water. Then one by one, she removed each pill from its orange container, swallowed it with a swig of water, then repeated. It took a while to down what must have been 30 pills. After a moment, the effect began to hit her, and she half stumbled, half fell into the tub. As she lay there, staring at bright overhead lights that dimmed further with each blink, she felt an immense sensation of peace consume her. No more drama. No more worry. No more boys. No more Maddie. No more Brooke. No more anything. Jade bolted out of the door in a hurry. She'd slept through her alarm and was riding time's jagged edge. She ran past Sage, who had wanted to speak with her. With a quick brush off, telling her they'd catch up after school, threw herself into her car and sped off. She decided to end the school week with belted jeans, a black sweater, and threw one of her leather jackets on top of it to combat the chill. That's me, Jade thought, the punky goth girl. How very cool. A rainy gray overcast consumed the entire town, and her rapid school commute was riddled with raindrops streaking her windshield. She hurried inside to keep herself as dry as possible, beating the tardy bell by 5 minutes, and immediately saw plain Jane Brooke Palmer leaning against the lockers, phone in hand. She looked up and locked eyes with Jade, donned an avoidant expression, then turned and hurried down the hall. Jade ran up to catch her. Hey, what's up? She called. Brooke ignored her. Jade placed a hand on Brooke's shoulder, but she shrugged it off. Don't touch me, Brooke snapped. Jade jumped in front of her, halting her walk. Who crapped in your cereal? She asked. Get away from me, Brooke said as she tried pushing past. Jade blocked her path. Okay, seriously, what is your problem? My problem? Brooke laughed bitterly. You want a list? Actually, yeah, a whole manifest. Great. Brooke shoved her phone into her pocket and folded her arms. Let's start with the fact that you're insane. Jade blinked. Excuse me? I said you're insane. A couple students glanced over as they walked by. Brooke lowered her voice, but the anger remained. Jordan was right about you. Jade's stomach tightened. About what? Don't tell me you two are actually friends. About everything. And yeah, we are. Jade studied Brooke's face and immediately noticed something was off. The dark circles beneath her eyes were more pronounced than usual, and her normally decent hair looked hastily thrown together. Had she even combed it? Jade wasn't a shining example of high fashion, but basic hygiene was non-negotiable as far as she was concerned. Most alarming was the nervous energy radiating from her. Because Brooke kept glancing over her shoulder like she expected somebody to be standing there. What did Jordan tell you? Jade asked. Brooke laughed again, almost hysterically so. What didn't she tell me? Brooke? No, seriously, which part are you asking about? The curses? Your weird revenge obsession? The giant collection of creepy candles? The fact that you apparently spend your free time ruining people's lives? Jade felt several students beginning to slow down nearby. Can we not do this in the hallway? Why? Because you're causing a scene. Brooke stared at her. You know what's funny? What? I actually defended you. Oh, come on. Not now, Jade scoffed, crossing her arms. When Chloe started getting weird, I defended you. When Chloe started telling me everything, I thought she was lying. When people said you were dangerous, I didn't believe them. Jade opened her mouth but couldn't speak. What could she say to that? Brooke carried on. Then Jordan told me how you two used to be friends, and she showed me the candles, Jade. The good ones. The ones that help people, but you? You have candles for humiliation. Brooke took a step forward, jabbing a finger at her to accentuate each emotion. You have candles for embarrassment. Another step. You have candles for rage. Brooke. And terror. Brooke's voice dropped into a hushed whisper. And death. What kind of person makes a death candle? Jordan's mouth ran dry. What did Jordan tell you? Everything. Why are you like this? You're so kind to me and yet you're so cruel to everyone else. You don't have to be this way, she pleaded. Jade shook her head. Brooke couldn't understand. She didn't have a dog in the fight. But then again, maybe Brooke was right. Maybe Jade had taken this whole thing too far. She bit her lip and stared down at the ground. Look, maybe I've been acting too rash lately, and listen, you're right. I am a bitch to those girls, okay? But you don't know everything about me. We have history, and you don't get to barge in and tell me how to run things. Still, that doesn't give you the right to ruin people's lives. Jade jerked a thumb over her shoulder. Come with me. I have to show you something. But I have class. Screw class. Ditch it. I need to prove to you that I have a good reason for all of this. Deal? Jade held out her hand. Brooke backed away, a scared expression replacing the rage percolating through her system. I don't think that's a good idea. Suddenly her phone buzzed. She pulled it back out, stared at it a moment, then frowned. Jade mirrored her expression. What's up? Brooke held up a finger as she typed, concern etched on her features. I don't know. Something's wrong with Jordan. Jade rolled her eyes. I don't know what you see in her. Brooke shushed her. Jade, I think something is wrong. What? Brooke turned her screen around and showed Jade the messages. See, this is normal. You don't think. Brooke let it hang. Why aren't you friends? What did you do? I don't know. Do you think she'd try something? Jade bit her lip, looking genuinely worried. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should head over there first, just to be sure. Brooke nodded and began fast walking. Okay, let's go. Should I call 911? Jade grimaced as she fell in lockstep. I don't know. Better safe than sorry, isn't it? Jade sighed. Yeah, probably. Okay then, Brooke said, dialing as she held the phone to her ear. As she spoke to the operator, a bad feeling crawled its way into Jade's gut. This didn't sound good. Brooke felt her stomach churn as she spotted the ambulance in front of Jordan's house. Oh no, she gasped, her hands flying to her mouth. Something bad happened. The flashing lights reflected off the rain-soaked pavement as paramedics moved frantically in and out of the front door, all while neighbors gathered beneath umbrellas along the sidewalk, rubbernecking. Pull over, Brooke shouted. Jade slowed but didn't stop. Jade, there's nothing we can do. Pull over. Brooke, come on, it's so crowded and... pull over. Jade's jaw tightened. The paramedics are already there. The cops are already there. It would just be in the way. Besides, we can just follow the ambulance to whatever hospital they take her to. Brooke stared at her in disbelief. Are you actually serious right now? What do you want us to do? Run inside and make everything worse? My friend could be dying. Jade's eyes remained fixed on the road. You think Jordan wants an audience right now? Brooke felt something snap inside her. Pull the car over. No. Brooke felt her voice rise an octave, laced with disbelief. Are you kidding me? Why are you like this, huh? I mean, one second you're super cool and awesome to be around, and then you turn into... Her hands flew around crazily. This? You just walk around in your own little world and you don't care who you hurt. Jade laughed dryly. You don't know anything about me. And no, before you ask, I had nothing to do with this. Nice try, though. You know what? Brooke hissed. You might as well have. Jade's head snapped toward her. Excuse me? You're a psychopath, or at least you pretend to be, but deep inside you're just a scared little girl who thinks she's hot crap just because she learned a few witch spells. You're not special, Jade. And you know what? I don't need you. I never asked to be your friend. That was all on you. So if you want to act like you're doing me some big favor by letting me hang with you, you can just shove it. You know what? Screw you, Jade snapped. If it wasn't for me, you'd still be some random loser girl who has to beg her hobo dad for a ride to school. Rage detonated in Brooke's skull, and without thinking, she reared back and slapped Jade across the face, hard enough to jerk her head back against the headrest. Jade let out a shocked gasp as her hand flew to her face. Both girls froze for a moment, not blinking. Then Jade, her cheek already reddening with the imprints of Brooke's palm print, slowly turned back toward her. Her eyes wide, one hand pressed against her reddening cheek. Then those eyes narrowed and turned ablaze. Get out, Jade ground out through clenched teeth. Brooke didn't need to be told twice. Just as she yanked the handle, she felt Jade's hand brush against her shoulder. Thinking that Jade wanted her to stay, Brooke turned back, saw the rage still etched into her features. So she shoved the door open and stumbled out into the rain. Then the Corolla's engine roared, the passenger door still hanging open. As the tire squealed against the wet pavement, Jade floored it down the street, making a quick right turn, then disappeared. Brooke watched the car disappear down the street, before turning and sprinting toward the flashing lights. Running toward the sidewalk, she came upon the ambulance just in time to see the motionless corpse of her friend splayed out on the stretcher. Her inconsolable mother right behind the paramedics as they loaded her into the ambulance. And that's the end of this part. I hope you hate me for this cliffhanger I left you on. Haha. If you're enjoying it so far, please let me know in the comments what you're thinking about this series, what you thought of this part, if you can even leave comments where you're listening from. I appreciate hearing from you. If you'd like to support this channel, go on to Patreon and become a patron of the channel, or buy yourself a shirt at shop.storiesaftermidnight.com. Either way, though, I appreciate you for listening and interacting and leaving your lovely comments. We'll see you in the next one, but take care now. Bye-bye then.